Welcome into the Godly Young Men Podcast, episode 130. We are super excited to bring you this episode today for a couple reasons. First of all, if you are listening, you're not going to know it yet, but if you're watching, we have a guest, actually our fourth guest ever on this show.
How about that?
All three of our brothers, so two of my brothers and Joe's brother have been on. We have our first non-relative guest, Mr. Josh Carroll. We're excited to have him with us. Josh,
welcome to the show.
Josh has been shouted out a few times. I think you're somewhat Discord famous on the Discord. Right. Like, people know who you are. But we brought Josh on for today's episode mainly because, so we're talking about something that's super interesting to me, another reason why I'm excited about this episode, and that is getting married young versus getting married old. When I say old, obviously not like super old, but like people nowadays are getting married pretty late into their 20s, in some cases early 30s as their first marriage. All three of us, and one of the reasons we had Josh on, Josh is newly married. He's been married for about 5 months. Congratulations to him and Anne. But he got married young. Me and him, we were talking before, and we were actually basically the exact same age, like 19 years and 3 months, 19 years and 4 months, something like that. Is how old we both were when we got married. Joe as well, not to speak for you, Joe. Joe was 22, which obviously older than us, but still very much on the young end when it comes to the nationwide averages.
I look like I was 16, for what that's worth.
There you go.
So,
there you go.
It all averages
and
out.
So we wanted to talk about this. Again, we thought it'd be very appropriate to bring Josh on to discuss. I definitely think there are pros and cons. I definitely would lean, as far as my kids go, I'm going to lean them pretty significantly into one direction or the other. This is to get it out of the way. We're not condemning anybody who gets married old or anything like that, for anybody that might get offended. We just simply want to discuss, like, hey, what are the arguments for getting married young? What are the arguments maybe for getting married older? And which one maybe comes out on top, so to speak? So, Joe, what introductory thoughts would you have to this episode?
Yeah. I'm excited for this episode, obviously, having you on. But just the concept itself being, I don't know, you see a lot of people these days pushing it. The average age, 30.2 for men, 28.6 for women.
I couldn't believe it was over 30 for men. That's pretty crazy.
Interestingly, I feel like, you know, you have kids at like 8 years old that are getting in relationships. So relationships are happening a lot earlier, but the marriage age is going up drastically. And so, I mean, if you look back at like 1970 statistics, you're up by like 5 or 6 years on average, minimum, maybe more than that, but just in the last 40, 50 years, that's how much it's climbed. So you think from an average perspective, if you're hitting an average of 30.2 for men, that means there's a lot of guys first time getting married because you guys are getting married really young. That's an 11-year gap.
So to offset it,
there's a lot of guys getting married way older than just 30 for the first time. Now, some people are going to say that's, you know, the second and third and fourth marriages for those that continue to get married may skew some of the statistics.
Well, the stats I pulled for this are first marriages.
Was it first marriage?
Those are first
marriages. Wow. So, yeah, yes, first marriage is 30.2 for men, 28.6 for women.
2024 statistics.
Yeah. I mean, that's drastic. That's insane. And so that's what we wanted to get into, is just introducing this concept of, like, is it better to get married young, better to get married older? For you being the newlywed here, we're excited because I think these are some questions we want to bounce off of you, your experience as you're getting into it. You're still in the honeymoon phase, which Will and I have kind of taken shots at.
So am I,
I was going to say, we're all in the honeymoon phase. It drives me nuts that people are like, well, just wait till you start hating each other, you know.
Right.
Don't ever make those jokes. Marriage is fantastic. And so, yeah, I'm excited to have you on, but excited to get into it. So, Will, we're going to bring in Josh on this. And do you want
to,
I guess.
So the first question I want to ask, just, and we don't have to spend too much time here because I'm sure we get a lot of good content to get to, but why do you guys think people are getting married so much later in life? Joe, you brought up a great point that dating relationships and, you know, stupid Snapchat relationships and stuff like that for American young people are starting at 10, 11, 12, and, you know, younger in some instances. And so, Josh, I will kick it to you first to, you know, what are some reasons why you think people are getting married so much later in life than they used to?
Well, you look at the typical life of the average American male. I think it's typically accepted that you graduate high school, go to college, kind of goof off, have your fun, and just experience the world, maybe experience different people, unfortunately, and giving.
Sexually speaking.
Yeah, sexually speaking. And just in other ways, emotionally as well.
Get your career started, yeah.
Right, absolutely. All of these things, and just goofing off and being immature and doing a lot of things that maybe we should have left behind a long time ago. But you look at most people, nobody really wants to grow up or settle down until maybe they're 22, 25, whatever it is. And everybody's very nostalgic, always thinking about their childhood and how good that
was.
That's
interesting. Yeah.
Certainly it was good, but it's definitely, I think, caused a trend where we never want to grow up, and certainly marriage being a big commitment, just a lot of people aren't interested in that whatsoever.
I have two answers, and one of them was going to be kind of, Josh definitely hit on it, and that is young people want to delay responsibility and growing up, is the best way to put it, as you said, for as long as possible. And so for a lot of young people, and I'm going to call out, I think a lot of the Instagram travel lifestyles, a lot of young women, unfortunately, but I'm going to call out the young men here and say, I do think it's driven by a lot of young men that are like, oh, man, getting married, maybe having kids, having to be financially responsible for somebody else. Man, I can do that when I'm older. You know, it brings adulthood onto them quicker if they get married younger.
And they don't want to be tied down.
And so they want to, like Josh said, they want to go out and experience things. They don't want to be tied down. They want to be able to go out and hang out and do whatever. And so there's an appeal to getting married later and later and later. But the other answer that I had, was I do think people are just living together a whole lot more frequently.
True.
And so specifically, obviously, these stats that we gave are not Christian stats. This is just for the United States, people in the world. So they're kind of, test driving the car a bit, so to speak. They're like, well, let's live together for a few years. And then, if that goes really well over the course of 5, 6, however many years, okay, then we'll get married. Well, by that point, they are probably pushing 30, 29, 28 years old. And so those were my two answers. I think for young men, the not wanting to grow up is the most fascinating one.
I know two couples that dated for over 10 years. One ended up breaking up and he married somebody else. Another one got married after 10 years of dating, not even being engaged. And they got engaged. 10 years, a decade together. And then they finally made the commitment. Like, I think marriage is the ultimate growing up. It's almost the ultimate rite of passage, is you are forced to now think of somebody other than yourself. So the travel lifestyle and everything else kind of goes out the window. And then for those that are getting married young, most of the time they're based, and so they're thinking about having kids pretty early on. We do have to consider the financial element of this. Like, it is very expensive to live in the world these days, and so I think they've also been sold a bill of goods. First off, you're getting tied down, so don't tie yourself down. Second off, I think they think you got to have your career completely figured out. And on the one hand, we'd be the first to say, don't go into marriage with your job at Starbucks, at 15 hours a week and you're pulling in like $200 paychecks. That's not good. But on the other hand, there is an element of this that's like, it really is. I think if we're waiting to be super set in our career, as you said, I think it's a great point. High school, college, you come out, you get the work experience. Well, I haven't really started my career. I'm just working, right? And so then, 5 years later, you're just now at 30 getting into your career. And I think that's when people look to settle down, is I finally have the training wheels off on the rest of my life and I can bring somebody on board. But there are some problems with that, I think. And so that's where I want to get into, as far as it goes with the argument of younger marriage. There's some arguments for older marriage, which we'll get to a little bit later. But I think there's some serious arguments for younger marriage.
Just briefly, and then Josh, I'll let you go first here. I think the financial stability career question is probably the most interesting one for this episode, because getting married, just to be honest, like, it really does, like, a lot hinges on that, I guess is what I'm saying, is can you provide for your wife? Can you provide for potential kids that could come from the marriage? And to me, there is a very fine line of like, okay, as Joe said, you probably shouldn't be getting married if that's what you're bringing in every month or whatever it is. We'll get to that here in a bit, because I think that's probably one of the more solid arguments for older marriages.
Sure.
Josh, we'll start with you. You are 5 months fresh into marriage, got married at 19, as did I, but you're a little bit closer to the source, so to speak, than I am now.
So why'd you do it?
I am not used to not being the youngest person on this podcast. I do not like that feeling.
I'm really the old fogey now, so it's great. Yeah.
But Josh, what are some things you'd bring up that are like pros for marrying young? Like, if I was making an argument towards somebody like, hey, you should marry young, what are some of the things you might say?
Well, I mean, if you know, there's no point in waiting around. I've still got a lot I'm working on in my life, a lot I'm figuring out about myself to a degree. I mean,
sure,
I think I've always known what I was about and everything and had an idea of where I was going, or I wouldn't have considered marriage, right? But there's still things I'm learning about myself, just about life in general, and same for my wife, Anne. And so it just provides the opportunity for us to grow together. And you think about maybe 20, 30 years from now, how special would that be to say, yeah, we got married at the age of 19 and we did all of this together and really came into, just a really mature sense of adulthood. You know what I'm saying?
Together.
A very established position. Right. together, and that's beyond valuable.
I think that's a great point. That would be my number one reason is growing together. I loved getting to do that because you start seeing people that are very stuck in their ways. Think about, like, if you are 30 years old and you moved out of mom and dad's house at 18, let's say, to go to college, you've now had 12 years on your own where the way you brush your teeth and your nighttime routine and your, you know, waking up routine and your snoring
and
how you spend your weekends and what you spend your money on and all of those things are like 12 years worth of being set in your ways for the most part. And yeah, okay, with college and fraternities and everything else, maybe that's up and down. But I mean, overall, it is a really difficult thing to have. No, that's what I do on Friday nights. Like, I always play with the boys on Friday nights. So, well, not anymore, right? So, and hopefully you can kind of work that out with your spouse. But on the other hand, that growing together of getting to experience these things. And I noticed this with my wife is like, she just turned 18. She'd never been out on her own. So all of these things of us, and I hadn't been out on my own because I had just stayed at home while doing school. All these things that everybody kind of does on their own, we never done it. So we got to do it together. I imagine that's the same for you guys as
absolutely.
Well. So I love that idea.
Yeah, that's a great first answer, just the idea that you are growing into adulthood with someone else.
Yep.
You are figuring out finances, which we'll get to later. Like, you almost never operating from the perspective of, okay, I am my own, by myself, financial entity. You know, you are working with your spouse in doing that together. You know, you'll see boomers and stuff, actually, I think this one might be a little bit more of a Gen Xer thing. I'm not really sure. I'm kind of just pulling that out of nowhere. But the couples that have separate bank accounts, me and my wife never even had that consideration because it was like, no, we're working. We are a financial entity together. It's not going to be – I think if you get married older, there's that temptation a whole lot more. Sure. Well, I've got $60,000 in the bank. You've got $30,000. I think I'm going to – well, let's keep them separate. And, you know, that temptation is not going to be there if you're young. Another one that I'll bring up that's kind of obvious, I feel like, but I think we have to say it, and that is there's just a lot less sexual temptation to fight off if you're getting married at 20, 21, 22 as opposed to 29 or 30. You think about from the time that somebody hits puberty, call it conservatively 14, but a lot of kids are hitting it younger, you know, 11, 12.
Yeah.
And so, and as Joe spoke to, the relationship starting younger. So if you start your first relationship, again, this is pretty conservative, but let's say 14 or 15 years old, and then you don't get married until you're 29, that is a 15 to 16-year basically time range that you are having to stay sexually pure, that you are potentially battling, you know, tempting situations, especially if you're not a like somebody, especially if you are somebody who dates, goes places by yourself with your person you're dating. You got to fight that off for a ton more years versus getting married younger. I don't know, like, you're just, it's way less time. You're playing with way less fire than somebody who waits that long. What thoughts do you guys have on that? I think that's a pretty significant one.
Well, I mean, it's hard enough anyway over the course of a year or two, no matter how long it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the natural thing that we're wired to do, you get close to somebody, you love them, you want to spend the rest of your life with them. Yeah, we're designed to have those desires, obviously. So basically, as far as the way we're wired, it's going to be impossible for, I don't know, a decade maybe would be what some people advocate for. I think some people would even say you've got to get to know each other sexually before you get married.
A lot of people do that.
I was told that a couple of times.
Wow.
Because that could be a horrible mistake. What if you're not sexually compatible? Or whatever. But yeah, like you said, definitely playing with fire. It's always going to be difficult. And you really think you're going to be able to stay pure over the course of 5 years?
Yeah. Right.
One other thing I want to bring up, Joe, and then I'm curious your thoughts on this. You get married younger, you are just going to have less romantic partners, which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you're getting married at 28, 29, or 30, odds are you are going to kind of, even if it's not sexually, run through quite a few people. Again, start dating at 16, 17, don't get married till you're 30. That's a lot. And maybe, you know, there are some people that date for 3 or 4 years, and then, you know, maybe they don't have a ton of people that they're dating, but you're probably, odds are, going to have less romantic partners, which is a very good thing. I'm sure you can speak to that in your therapy of people who get married, but they dated 7 other people before, and they think of them, and it's just made all the more difficult. And so that's, obviously, this is not a dating episode whatsoever, but I think the time element comes into this when you consider you will have less romantic partners the younger you get married in life, which is important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think dating is practice for divorce, as we've talked about before. That, yeah, if you're going to do that over and over and over again, waiting for the right one and kind of getting there, yeah. And I think this is one of the most important points of the sexual temptation we don't take this seriously enough because nobody really understands why fornication is so wrong. Like, even in the church, well, it's wrong because God says so. Like, well, why does God say so? Yeah. Why? And we've talked about it on this podcast before, the importance of abstaining from that, because there is a level of purity and there is taking something that's not yours. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that are you know, problematic about it. But I think this, you know, specifically as you think about the pornography discussion, how many guys up to 30 have had that much time to create a serious pornography addiction that they haven't really dealt with? Whereas I'm not saying getting married takes away pornography, so don't misunderstand me there. On the other hand, 1 Corinthians 7 is very clear, like, don't let them burn with passion. There is an element where you now have a justified and an appropriate route for your sexuality and for your level of arousal and such, whereas you wait until 30... Seriously, like you said, half your life you are struggling with sexual temptation.
And you're alone a whole lot more, like in your bedroom. And that
correct.
Kind of thing.
I mean, there's so many more possibilities to act out. So I think that's a big one. Another one on here is just, and you already got at this with growing together, just struggling together, going through life. There's something about struggling together with one another, being broke early on. And I don't know where you guys stand on that. You know, like, we were very fortunate when we got married that...
We'll get to that. Don't you worry.
Yeah. We are very fortunate that we were never, like, broke. But, yeah, you do definitely go through struggles together. And I think the more struggles you go through at an earlier age, when you're – there's almost – this is almost where naivete kind of works to your favor. It's like, we don't know how we're supposed to be. I don't know how she's going to respond to certain things. We were 6 months into our marriage and lost a kid at 21 weeks. And – it was very difficult. And you got to go into the hospital and they had to induce her. And, you know, she was in a ton of pain. And so, like, this is 6 months, 7 months into marriage. Yeah, already struggles have hit. Like, this had just, I don't even think we were that far in. And here's the struggle. But going through that together and coming out the other side, like, we're not getting divorced after 5 months, right? And we ended up actually turning toward one another quite a bit, and it was such a great opportunity for growth in our marriage to go through something very devastating, something very difficult, and come out the other side. Like, you grow stronger through these things, and instead of I have my way to grieve and I go talk to my parents and she's got her way to grieve and she goes to her friends, which I think is a lot more likely later in life, struggling earlier on together I think is a better thing. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you're going to go through difficult times, whether you're single, whether you are married, whatever it is. So these things are going to happen, but the benefit of being married young and having that ability, when you are struggling through maybe the pains of growing up and getting used to the finances, like we mentioned, just even the lifestyle of being out on your own, all of these things, you just have the privilege of a bad day, collapse into your spouse's arms, whatever it is, for that comfort, somebody who you know they truly care about you because they've committed their whole life to you, right? You have security in that. Just an amazing benefit.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I want to go ahead and spin us into a discussion on, you know, let's say there, I think it's pretty clear, all three of us, based on when we got married, we would lean more towards marrying young. I will say... Yep. Let's get into the, you know, if somebody were to make an argument for, hey, maybe wait longer, maybe get married in your late 20s a little bit later, what would that argument be? And so we want to cover these. We want to give these kind of the proper, these arguments the proper respect they deserve, with the preface that, again, like, I will be probably be teaching my children, you know, don't necessarily just marry the first person that comes along, but, like, be ready and mindful and kind of prepared for marriage at a pretty early age. And as kind of Josh said earlier, if you find the one, go for it. But let's talk about the arguments for older marriages. I'll kind of give the first one, and some of these might be obvious as well. You as a young man, you probably are more than likely going to be more well set in your career. You're going to be a little bit more stable. Odds are you're going to be more stable in your career if you're 28 as opposed to 18. You are going to have probably a steadier job, higher income. Maybe you've got a house at that point. And so you're going to be maybe more prepared to take care of a wife, especially take care of the kids. And so people would make the argument, and again, I don't think it's totally wrong, that, hey, it's better to wait. That way you don't have to deal with the kind of, you know, up late at night going, how am I going to be able to pay for this kid? Or how am I going to be able to make rent next month? And so I think there's some legitimacy to that. What would you guys add to that, or maybe some other arguments for getting married older?
What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I can't speak to that too much. I mean, I was at my job for, I think, 10 months before we were married. So some might would say that I wasn't really established in a career. It's definitely a good job and does everything you need it to do. But certainly, It could be argued, yeah, you have time to get the degree. You have time to put the experience in, maybe some sort of an internship on your resume and be able to land like a real big boy job that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. And you're making all the money and you've developed skills and talents and stuff. You're not replaceable, right? It's not like maybe you work at McDonald's or whatever it is and they don't need you anymore, right? You're just, it's secure, it's stable. So that would be a benefit that I can't necessarily claim. I think I am pretty secure in my job, but certainly that would be one of the points for older marriage.
So real fast, just, I was curious where you felt. So when I got married, I was making $13 an hour. I was making $13 an hour working at a UPS store, 35 hours a week. Now, I was preaching for our current congregation, actually, that Joe and I attend. Pulling in $250 a week, so we're up to
big money.
I know, luxury. And then I was working for my dad doing some shipping stuff for like $1,000 a month. So
you were hustling, but I mean,
I was hustling, but not making a ton of money.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's the key in this is it's the hustle, right? It's the ability to know you're a hard worker, right? Hard work is going to get money down the line. I would assume not all the time, but most of the time, like you're working three different jobs at the time, and so clearly you're pushing for it. At the time, I think I was pulling in maybe $700 a month reffing. I was making $16 an hour as an intern. Wow. Still finished the master's. So my master's was finished December. We got married in October. They bumped me to $23 an hour, but that doesn't include any time of driving, notes time, any of that stuff. And so I was driving
doing all that extra.
An hour to go to a client, meet for an hour, and then go back, and I got $23 for all of that. So you're doing 3 hours. Like, it was rough. Luckily, and this is where a lot of luck goes into this, huge blessings. My dad came in. He offered me a job because they needed some marketing help. I came in and helped with marketing. It wasn't, you know, a ton, but he gave me definitely enough to get on my feet, allow me to finish the internship, finish everything else, and start heading toward licensure. So sometimes you look for those breaks. But again, I think at that time, and then I was also preaching whenever I could. And so it's just that struggle. Would it have been nicer to be a little more established? Sure. But on the other hand, I think it goes back to struggling together a little bit of like, those are some of our more fonder moments is where I'd go help my dad. You know, I'd go drive around to jobs and take pictures, and my wife would come along with me wherever possible. It was great. That's cool. We weren't making a ton, but on the other hand, like, it was a real good time for us to be able to go through it.
That's a take that is a take that you have, but one that, because more career stability and more financial stability are kind of the arguments here of like, you got more money in the bank, again, kind of good to go into the house. I am a big believer in the it's okay, we'll make more philosophy, which is kind of something you've talked a lot about on this podcast of like, when you don't really have to worry about this too much when you're single because you're literally just providing for yourself. Right. Odds are you're probably renting with maybe some buddies or maybe even living with your parents. When you get married and you have rent to cover or you got a house or whatever, you kind of just have to decide, well, I'm just going to have to figure it out. I will make more no matter what. Same thing when kids come along. Like, you just figure out a way, and that's where I do want to credit, obviously. Sounds bad, like, obviously I do, but credit God a ton in that if you are, I think if I'm a passionate believer, if you're a hard worker, you're diligent, you're reliable, you will get opportunities. And opportunities will come your way. And so there will be opportunity to make more money, even if maybe, again, you don't have a six-figure job when you get married.
I agree. And I think marrying young, having kids, working hard, being a member of the church, praying lots for this, I do think God will provide for you. It may not be the most cushy thing initially, but I do think God will provide. And, you know, people may say it's easier said than done, but on the other hand, that's kind of a promise of Matthew 6, right? Like, he clothes the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, feeds the birds of the air. So I do think that God will do that for us. One thing I'll say, and Will, I know you didn't fully finish. You're like a semester away, right? I mean, you're real close. To the best, and I don't know where you stand.
I was going to bring that up, but yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know where you stand on education. Maybe this is coming in a little bit later, but I am a believer in, for the most part, if you can, finish your education. Because if I had met my wife like a year before, I may not have ever finished the master's, and I would not be doing what I do. Like, I would not be able to be a therapist because, and I've known a lot of guys that they got into it, they had a career path, they met a girl, and then they shifted course. You know, I was going to be a lawyer and then shifted and ends up being something else because he had to provide for a wife. To me, you do want to get, like, if you do have a set career in mind, and not every guy does, and that's okay, but if you have a set career in mind and you got to get a certain amount of schooling, don't back out of the schooling for the girl is all I'm going to say, because you do want to be able to provide for her, and don't give up your dream to chase her, because once you got her, then what? You know, you got to be able to chase she's got to help you along the path as you're already going. She comes in as the help meet. She can't be the destination itself. She's supposed to help you on the way to the destination. So that'd be the only thing. And I don't think that means you need to be 30 and have a super set career. That means if you are, you know, if you're going to school,
keep pursuing.
Correct. Keep pursuing that, you know, whatever that may look like.
What are your thoughts on that, Josh? I'll give my take in a second.
Well, first of all, props to you guys for pushing through. Can't imagine. You know, we don't have everything exactly, but that's some real hustle for sure. I would say, yeah, it's always going to be a better thing to be educated, maybe have a degree in something that you can actually use. I can't say a whole lot about it. I never even started any
college education.
I was going to say, no, that's fine.
I have considered maybe going back to school, whatever it is, for something. Just, you never know which direction your career is going to take you, but I think that's always going to be an advantage.
I think, in my opinion, if I would go back and do it again, I honestly would probably take your route and go, I love what I do, love what I do, but I have thought many times going back and taking a blue collar route where I don't go to school and I just get the experience. Really? I've literally thought about doing that. Like,
I've thought about taking a time
machine and going back. No, I mean, like, I've thought about if I could redo it, I would go back and do blue collar, because first off, I think you're going to have invaluable experience. Second off, I think experience is better than schooling 9 times out of 10, unless you have a specialty, in which case. But most people go to school and it's like, did you need it? Right? If you get working, you didn't finish your degree, but you're doing very well in your life, because look, you know, once you get the experience, at some point, experience, a lot of times, and maybe not always, but experience can outweigh the school. You got 4 years in school, great, but 4 years on the job is huge.
Yeah, that's just the point on the school thing. So, yeah, Joe's correct. So I got married in the middle of a semester, finished out the semester, and I actually didn't necessarily stop school for the girl, but I got kind of a big boy job at Amazon and ate up all my time. And so I thought, well, I'm going to put school on hold, and that is what I do regret, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I wish that I had just stuck, even though I was working long weeks, I wish I had just stuck it out, because I was so close. And it's one of those things, once I took off of school and kept working these long weeks and making good money and, like, really, you know, life was really good, there's not a huge incentive to go back to school at that point versus if I had just stuck in it. So I would echo Joe in the sense of, like, if you are, like, halfway through or, like, kind of in the middle of it, to the best of your ability, man, just try to stick it out, because it's going to be really tough to quit for, you know, I'm going to take a gap year. Good luck. You're probably not going back, is what I would say there.
Well, and to wrap up on the argument for older marriage, so we're talking about career, we're talking about financial stability. The last one just would be more maturity. As you're getting the experience, as you're going, that would be one thing for older marriage. Now, again, to say what these guys have said, obviously we push for more younger marriage, but you will be more mature. Now, with maturity comes more set in your ways, as we talked about. That is the difficulty. On the other hand, could I have handled some things better? If I was 5 years older when I got married, would I have handled some things better? Yes, I'd like to think so, right? Absolutely. I would be a little more far or a little further along on responding not as emotional in certain things or handling certain conflicts better or whatever it may be. And so I do think there is merit to that, that sometimes the maturity can help navigate, specifically from an emotional perspective.
All right, so I'm going to blaze through, because we're already at like the 30-minute mark, but
man,
this is interesting
by.
Stuff. Yeah, I love it. I'm going to blaze through these questions. I'm going to ask the first one to Josh. I'm going to skip to the middle one, actually. What we've got on here is, how can a young man know when he's ready for marriage? I'm going to make that question a little bit more personal for Josh and ask you, how did you know you were ready for marriage? Like, what is it? Was it – again, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Like, what gave you the confidence and the assurance, like, I don't necessarily have a degree, I don't maybe even have the number one job I want, but I am confident I am ready for marriage? Like, what was that feeling like for you so recently, obviously?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. Can you look at your life and honestly say that you're not going to be perfect, obviously, but that on the whole, you have control. You have control as far as, you know, your walk with God goes, and your study and your prayer, your interactions with your family. Is that relationship good? Do you interact with people well? Are you disciplined and you're taking care of your body?
Sure,
eating well and exercising and all of these things. And do you have a solid job where you can provide for yourself and a wife, or at least a job where you can work that, supplement it with something else, but you have a direction you're going towards, like maybe an opportunity for a promotion at whatever job you're at, where you can envision in the future, like, yeah, we're definitely going to be okay. We're definitely going to have enough. Maybe we have to endure a little bit of a penny pinching phase, a little bit, whatever it is.
Not eat out as much, all that, yeah.
And all of those things. But Do you at least have a goal, and are you taking dominion over the things in your life? Do you understand what marriage is? If somebody asks you what marriage is, what the purpose of it is for, and just
so that's one of Joe's favorite questions.
Yeah, that's why I looked at Joe.
nice, my man.
Yep, but can you give somebody an adequate answer? Do you have an understanding of what your role is as the man, as the husband in the marriage? What you can expect from a wife? And I think. You know, I didn't know everything about it, but I could give somebody some sort of an answer, yep. right? I had certain things I knew from God's Word, and married people that I've talked to that are reliable, knowledgeable, been married for a long time. You've got to have a good understanding of all of those things, and just discipline in your life is what I would say.
Yeah.
What a great answer.
Yeah, that's a great answer. It's great. Did you guys have premarital? Just out of curiosity? Premarital counseling?
We actually didn't. I was wondering if this would be a question that would come up. I think... I'd say if you're thinking about getting married soon, definitely go for that. I don't know. It's just one of those things, though. Everything was so busy, and it kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. But we did talk about it. We thought about it.
Might want to scoot a little this way. Joe's
I'll give you my card just for later, just in case.
Post-marital counseling.
Yeah, post-marital exactly. counseling. Maybe we'll hit you up for that. But I think it's
hopefully not. Hopefully not, yeah.
Definitely important. We definitely should have done it.
Well, no, just as you were talking, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot with it as yeah. much as just as you were talking about knowing that's one of the big things I hit in premarital is what is the purpose? And as you were talking, like that's a great point. You had a good understanding of your role. You had a good understanding of the purpose of marriage, of her role, what that's supposed to look like. To me, that's a big thing is can you adequately spell out what you're supposed to be doing here? Because you may not be doing it. That's okay. We're all young. We're all figuring it out. But on the other hand, like you know the direction at least of what we're aiming for. That's half the battle. Like, aware is halfway there. And so if you can just be aware of where you're going and what helps you be ready, which is what you spoke to, I think genuinely you're 50% of the way there.
I love that. I want to speak to, so I would, my answer would kind of be fall into three categories of how can a young man know. The first one is spiritually, but even the more, the question that I would ask is, are you ready to lead someone spiritually?
Yeah.
Because what that question implies is that you already know how to lead yourself, like right. kind of you spoke to, like your walk with God's in a good place, which is great, but if you can't lead somebody else, you are probably not ready for marriage. And so that would be the first question I would ask. The second one, again, you spoke to this, Josh, is personally speaking, are you a disciplined person? Are you disciplined with exercise, with working out, with you know, whatever it is, with walk with God, all that stuff? Like, do you have control of your life, is a great word that you use, or are you needing a wife to add some, you know what I mean, like is she gonna come in and save the day for you? If that's the case, you're probably not ready for marriage. And the third one would be financially. Yeah, you kind of spoke to that. Can you provide? I think, are you going to be able to have a little bit of cash flow is the way that I would put it, so that you're not literally eating rice every night? Again, that's going to be different for everybody. But I think I am a big, like, I am going to make Jackson or whoever my first kid is that enters that. You're going to have to show me, like, what are your expenses going to be? What's your budget going to be? So that I can see, like, are you at least good? Because you might disagree. As much as you can, I would say you don't want to be in a position to have to ask your parents for money. If it was me and my kid came to me asking for money 3 months after they got married, I'd be like, probably shouldn't have gotten married. You know, bad luck happens. Like, I get sure. it. There's things that come up, and, you know, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. Parents are probably going to be blessed and be able to. I don't think you need to be going into marriage with that as you're like, oh, if things fall apart, I'll be able to ask mom and dad for money. Like, you probably don't want that.
I do agree with that, actually. I think, by and large, now some people will, as you said. We lived with my parents to start.
We've lived with my parents for
yeah, time, I mean, right? I wouldn't necessarily suggest that, but on the other hand, it's tough times out here, man. Like, you know what I mean? It was tough, but we also had a plan to get out. We had an exit strategy of how long it was going to be. And so I think that's the key, is if you do have to make some concessions like that, at least have an understanding of how long it's going to be. But I like your guys' answers on how you know you're ready. The spiritual component is huge. The leadership component going along with the spiritual. And then, yes, I'd say financially and physically. If you're going in and you're already, like, not feeling great about where you stand with your physical health, things like that, you do have a duty to your wife to give her the best physical as much as possible. Like, clearly I'm not in my tip-top shape. On the other hand, it doesn't get better after marriage, which I was in a lot better shape before marriage. On the other hand, it becomes more of a struggle. I'm also almost a decade into marriage and life changes and such. But you want to know, like, going into it, I am giving her my very best in all of these elements of financially and spiritually and physically and things like that. So I think that's a big one for me. Another question for you. is there a certain amount, and Will, I'm very curious your answer.
I'll let y'all go first.
Is there a certain amount of money in the bank a young man should have getting married? Do you have thoughts on this?
I think I have plenty of thoughts on this.
All right, let's go.
Good deal. I love talking with you about it because I love to geek out about the financial stuff,
you and me
too.
Both,
I love crunching the numbers. It's a way that you can really take control, I guess, to put the numbers in and see if it works, right? And so I wouldn't say there should be a set number necessarily. I think Dave Ramsey does have it right when he says that you should have enough for 3 to 6 months of living expenses. And sure, that's difficult. That's going to be maybe tens of thousands of dollars, whatever it is. But if you can have a couple thousand put away in the bank, I mean, because you don't want to have to be going out selling stuff or asking people for money if, yep, you know, the car breaks down and all of these things. Yeah. And man, it is just, it just gives me so much peace to know that there is something
bit of a cushion.
And poverty or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Or if you get laid off from your job or whatever it is that you, I mean, you're literally buying yourself time to figure something else out.
Yeah.
And so I would say maybe you can't do 3 to 6 months. It's certainly a pretty difficult task, whatever it is. I'd say if you can, do that, but definitely make sure that you have enough to cover any sort of accident that could come up, yeah, and something that could buy you a little bit of time if, you know, job loss is a thing and all of these things. You just need to have a backup plan.
I like that answer a lot. It's funny. I put this question down. I don't have a solid, like, this dollar amount. Yeah. The one thing that I do have that's solid is you need to be in a position where you are not going to have to go into debt for anything. So, like, if your car is about to break down, you're like, I'm about to have to buy a new car, and you're going to buy a, you know, finance a $15,000 vehicle, I would say you need to be in a bit of a better spot than that. I mean, so that number is going to be different for everybody. I mean, whether that's $5,000, because most people when they get married are going to be renting, so it's not like you're going to have a HVAC unit go out or something like that you have to pay for. Like, renters cover that. I think you need to have enough to cover emergencies like you spoke to. The laying off from your job, that is a really important one. Like, if you got $1,000 in the bank and you've got a fairly unstable job and you get, you know, canned 3 weeks after you get married and you got $1,000 to live off of until you find another job, that could put you in a really tough spot.
That's gone so quick.
My number, again, you need to be ready to not go into debt if things go wrong. I don't know. $4,000 or $5,000 is kind of what's coming to mind for me just off the top of my head, even though I'm the one that put this question down. Joe, what are your thoughts?
I was thinking 5 to 10, somewhere around there. 3 to 6 months would be ideal. Unfortunately, I mean, you look at
that's
living
like
expenses
50K,
now.
Yeah.
These days, legitimately, I think when we got married, that would have been like $12,000 minimum, based off being in Denver. $12,000 is a lot when I was making $16 an hour. You know, I wouldn't have gotten married for a lot longer. And so in this time, I agree with you. If at all possible, man, be putting as much away. What you see is a lot of guys that will go out and they'll spend a lot of money on their girl and they'll buy her different stuff or buy a huge ring or whatever else. In my opinion, buy a smaller ring and put more toward, you know, other things, but more toward getting a car or whatever it is. Like, yeah, the ring is going to look nice. Well, you can go back and get her a different ring in 10 years. You're going to have a tough time when she's driving a clunker that's breaking down every other week. Like, in my opinion, I don't know.
It's so situational because as I'm sitting here thinking, like, you only get one honeymoon. You want to have enough money to have a really nice honeymoon. But at the same time, if you're, like, all ready for marriage, but you're like, man, I don't have enough to pay for a good honeymoon, I don't think that I would say, well, then hold off on the marriage.
Right, right, right.
But it is – and that's why we are going to push you guys at 16, 17 years old, man, you know, go get after it. Go make some money. Go save money.
Put it,
like,
in the bank.
Be really smart about it so that you can enter marriage. To full disclosure, so I got married with, like, maybe $25,000 in the bank, but I spent six of that on the honeymoon. Like, I took my overall net worth down by, like, 30%. When I got married,
you had like 20 more in the bank than I did.
Well, but because of that, my point is, like, I was pretty comfortable just throwing that, not throwing it away, like spending that money on a honeymoon, because I was like, I'm only getting married once. And so again, if I didn't have that much money in the bank, then it would not have been as comfortable. So it does depend. Like, I don't know that there's a set dollar amount.
It is a tough thing because I think a lot of guys, well, how do I know when I'm ready? How do I know when I have enough? More than anything, if I think the biggest thing, you both spoke to it, if an emergency happens, are you going, oh no, or are you going, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. You know, that is the biggest stressor of a young marriage. Most of the time, it's going to be the biggest stressor is finances. Something going wrong, again, AC unit goes out if you do happen to own your place. Even if you get evicted or something crazy or the price is skyrocketing. I mean, we went in at like $1,300 a month. By the time we were leaving, they were trying to get us for $1,900 a month.
It's crazy.
Like, it just goes up like that. One of the reasons we're down in Tennessee. And so, you know, you think about that. Don't put that young stress on your marriage if at all possible. Yeah. So,
I'm Go ahead.
No, go for it.
I was just going to say, we're at the we could talk about this for hours, I'm sure. It's been great to have Josh on. I'm going to give my closing thoughts, and then if you guys have anything else you want. My encouragement to you godly young men would be, if possible, marry young. I think it's a really good thing. I think it's a very positive thing. Yes, are you going to be more mature and more stable later on? Yes, you will. And again, I'm not a believer in, again, just marry the first person that comes along right. Just because you want to get married young. Like, make sure it's the right person. But as Josh spoke to at the beginning, it's a great way to put it. If it's the right person, go for it. Like, yeah. just go for it. You will figure out a way to make more. You will kind of, again, grow with that grow with your spouse as you guys get older. I'm a believer in it. I would just encourage you in every decision that you make, specifically at that age, just seek guidance, seek counsel, whether it's from your parents if they're around and are able to give good advice, whether it's people at your church, mentors. There's a lot of wiser people than you, a lot of wiser people than Joe and I or than Josh. Like, there's a lot of wise people out there. Seek their counsel. Just because they're old doesn't mean they have good advice. But I don't know. Like, I would encourage you to just make your decisions with wisdom. Because there is a lot of nuance. Like, we're given some hard and fast answers, but, man, for the most part, it does depend on the situation. But overall, I would say get married young. I'm a believer in it. Any closing comments?
Closing thoughts, yeah, get married young. You're going to have the opportunity, like we said, to make more memories, to have children, a solid amount maybe, and you're creating a lasting legacy, which is, I know, talked about on this podcast legacy, a lot. That's what we want,
boy,
right?
Yeah.
getting to heaven and creating a legacy, taking as many people with us as we can. Yep. Specifically your family, it's probably the ultimate goal, I guess. So get married young. And two things I'd like to say. First of all, I don't want to sound vague, but pray. Because a story I'd like to share is, I mean, I knew I wanted to get married younger. I knew I didn't want to wait around. But there was a period where it was like, how in the world are we going to do this, right? Because I wanted her to be able to stay at home, keep the home, do all the things that I believe the Bible intended for us to do. I would say that if you do things God's way, He is absolutely going to take care of all of your needs. I remember praying, like, God, if you can just give me a job that'll pay for enough for Anne to be able to stay at home and do all these things, she will never work. We'll be generous. We'll give. We'll do everything your way if you can just, you know, kind of help me out here. And just after that, or not too long after that anyway, a series of events led to us meeting this guy who's a great friend now, who ended up seriously helping me get the job that I'm at now. And it's a good job. It pays well, has good benefits, and I wouldn't be able to live the life that I live.
I love it, yeah.
If it weren't for that. It's not like I had anything significant on my resume. I didn't do anything crazy to get this job. I didn't even interview, but I think that just almost random chance, it seems like, but we know better. Meeting this guy, great friend, it's a God thing. That's absolutely so cool. And if you commit yourself to doing things by the Bible, He's going to take care of it. And then also I would add, yeah, definitely talk to people who've been married before you. I remember talking a lot to my parents, my grandparents. I called Will. I was like, how much does it actually cost to live on your own and support a family? Got to figure out that number. It'll help you figure out how much you need to make. Can you actually do it? Trust God's plan. Pray that He'll give you everything you need to accomplish that, and talk to more experienced people than yourself.
That's great.
Man.
That's great.
That's really good advice. I got so many more questions. I wish this was...
I know, seriously.
This was a lot longer, but...
This has been great.
I love that you brought in the children point. Just my wrapping up. Have kids young. Get married young. Have kids young. Nothing better. You know, nothing better. And yeah, you want to be financially stable enough to, like, where your kids aren't starving. But on the other hand, like, push for that. As I said, a lot more comments I'd have on yours, but I think you wrapped it up well. So I don't have much more to say. Obviously, for those on the Discord, hit us up. What are your thoughts? What are your questions? I'll let Josh, I'll direct every question to you, and you can answer everything on the Discord for us. And so we're looking forward to that. But anyway, let us know. If you don't follow us, make sure to hit us up. We will give you the Discord link, and we'd love for that. But like, comment, subscribe, as they say. And let us know your thoughts on this episode. Any questions or thoughts that you have specifically for us or for Josh, we'd love to take them. But anyway, this has been episode 130 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.